Well, we are on our, as Stephen said, our series of powerful people still. And just again, quick review slides. We've read this one a couple times now, John 15:8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The proof of us bearing fruit, proof of being a disciple is bearing fruit. Us bearing fruit is proof of our being followers of Christ. Like, there's no unfruitful disciples of Christ. Let that settle in. There's no unfruitful disciples of Christ. If you're a disciple, you're going to produce fruit. Now, you might need a little pruning. Nudge your neighbor. Might need a little pruning. Now they're not talking about you. They're just stretching their elbows, right? We might need a little pruning to see some more fruit, but we are in Christ to bear fruit. Otherwise, those branches get cut off that don't bear fruit. So we want to be pruned to bear more fruit, not pruned off the vine. And thankfully that we are in Him, and God is so faithful and draws us near. But this whole series is about, in this crazy world, how do we not get pulled to the left and the right, and how do we not get sidetracked, and how do we not get overwhelmed, and how do we be fruitful, thriving, life-filled Christians, right? Little Christs is what that means. Did you know that? Little Christs. How do we be little Christ Christians? Little Christ followers. How do we be filled with the Spirit? How do we walk in power? How do we not get the life drained? How do we keep away from the vampires, right? The life suckers, the things that just drain us of power. How do we be powerful people? And so the first one that we're hitting of the two, there may be more than two, but the first one of the two that we for sure want to hit is you become powerless when you become a victim. And I don't mean a victim of bad circumstances. I mean a victim between your ears. Okay? There's a difference. There's a victim of circumstance. Like, bad things happen to good people, yes or no? Yes, absolutely. The combine breaks down, right? The kids won't do what they're supposed to do. The guys won't show up to work, right? Like, things happen in life. That's not, and if you are innocent in that, you are technically a victim. So that's not what I'm talking about. Avoiding every bad thing, that's ridiculous. You'd have to leave this world, and someday we will. And have it remade by fire to a new world, a new heaven, a new earth. But it's becoming a victim in our minds where I become paralyzed. I become powerless because all the bad stuff is happening to me, right? And that's what happens. The switch happens when life happens to me instead of me living life. Now, you see all these statements from Jesus about Him being life, and now this is eternal life, that they might know you and whatever. And we think when we're victims, well, I just hope I can make it through because all of this stuff happens to me and I have no control over anything. And we become kind of this shriveling, powerless. And we all probably are in some areas of our life have given into that. And we all at times in different seasons of our life have given in. Some personalities, it's just very natural to kind of give into that woe is me kind of. If you're old school, it's called feeling sorry for yourself. There's a little more to it than that, but that's kind of the older version of what we would call it. And it's just this life-sucking state of mind that allows me to not produce anything good. I no longer am a fruitful follower of Christ. Doesn't mean I don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm not praying. It doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, trying to do good things, but I become powerless. And so we blame people. When we're victims, we blame people. We blame something or someone. That they're my problem. That's my problem. That's why I can't do this. That's why I'm not getting anywhere in life. It's because of them. It's John's fault. If John wasn't in the world, then I would just be this other kind of person that's much more better to be around, but it's John's fault. It's Joe's fault. It's Frank's fault, right? It's my coworker's fault. It's this weather's fault. It's, right? And the list goes on and on and on. And we don't want to take responsibility for our own lives. And I said it last week, taking responsibility is scary. Everybody say scary. It's scary. It's scary because then if I'm taking responsibility for me, well, then who's responsible? Me, right? If it's someone else's fault, then it kind of lets me off the hook. And there's this false idea of freedom. That feels like freedom to us. Oh, it's not my fault. It's Stephen's fault. If Stephen would have showed up when he was supposed to show up, and then I wouldn't have felt like I felt and did what I would have done and should have done something else. But now it's, if you would just do what you're supposed to do, I wouldn't have to be like this. Right? Anyone ever said that? Spouses, parents, friends, anyone that's alive, right? If you would just do what you were supposed to do, I wouldn't have to be, oh. So you are a prisoner of that person's actions. Do you see how debilitating that is? And it's all cute and funny, and some of it is silliness. But it really is powerlessness. You now have control. You are pulling the strings on my life. Because if you wouldn't do all your dark and dirty, nasty things, then I wouldn't be like I am. Because there's no power in here at all. There's no choices. There's no good. I can't. It's all dependent on you. You better do the right things. And because me, right? And we just become totally dependent upon you doing whatever, fill in the blanks. And I promise you, when they do the fill in the blanks, you're still going to be pathetic. You're just going to pick a different thing. Well, yeah, well, you did the one thing and the other two things that I said, but you didn't do it how I thought you were supposed to do it. Well, no, now it changed this week. You're supposed to do this and this. And that's why I am the way that I am. And we're kind of exaggerating, but by your smiles, I'm hoping you're all feeling a tinge of this in your own personal lives, because if you need me to give you examples about you, let me. We'll stop there, yes. Hallelujah. All right, let's go get some soup and go home. All right. We become really insecure because there's no power here. When I'm a victim, I'm really insecure because at any moment, anything bad could happen, right? Because I have no power in this. Ah, I can't control my emotions. I can't control what's happening to me. And all of the power stuff is out there. It's not. There's nothing in here. And we get really negative because, yeah, it happened before. It's probably going to happen again like that. Yep. And it just pulls the life. Man, we're not changing the world. You're not affecting people for Christ. You're not producing fruit because we're just trying to survive in that point. This is a review slide again. Once it becomes, quote, not your fault, then, guys, you're stuck. It feels like freedom. Well, that's not my fault. I had this reaction, but it's because you said that. And if you don't ever say that again, then I won't get mad like that. Oh, see, my madness is totally dependent on like you control me, right? And you need to know that, right? Hoofta. Then I'm stuck here. What if you decide that you're never going to change? Well, then I'm stuck the rest of my life being miserable and hopeless and whatever the issue is. I mean, there's 1,000 blanks we can fill in here. So once I get there, once it becomes your fault, it feels, see, it's not my fault. I can't do nothing about it. It's not my fault. But also then I become stuck. It's this illusion of freedom. It's this illusion of, okay, well, it's all my coworker. Well, it's all my dumb boss. That's what Steven says all the time. It's all the weather. It's all my coworkers. It's all, right? It's all this political party or that president or this business or these kind of people. It's all these kind of people. Oh, we like that. We like that one. It's all these kind of people. That's what my problem is, right? But then I can't really do anything about those kind of people, can I? So what then do I? Well, you'll see here in a second. So this is new. Your options then become negative reactions, control, manipulation. See, if I can't control anything in here, if it's all your fault, if it's all John's fault, right? If it's all the weather's fault, if it's all those kind of people's fault, then my only response, the only way, because I don't like getting mad all the time. I don't like being depressed all the time. I don't like being short of money all the time. I don't like, you know, disappointing my kids all the time. And it's John's fault, right? You picked the wrong place to sit today, buddy. You're right in my eye line. And Alicia's like, this is the best service that we've ever been to. Told you we should have come to church today. But then if there's no responsibility in here, and it's all John's fault for whatever's going wrong in my life and bad and my bad reactions and my whatever, and if it's not my fault and it's John's fault, and I'm pretty convinced of that, then the only chance that I have of changing anything here is to change him. Track with me there for a second. I can't change the weather, so usually that ends up just being a meltdown, right? An emotional negative reaction, right? But if it's something that I feel, if something else is at fault for what's going on in my life, then I want to manipulate that, and I want to control that, and I want to change that, right? Because that's what's responsible for me. How many times, people, in our relationships, I mean, this is very relational. This can relate to relations so easily. How many times are we putting a stranglehold on the other person because you're what's wrong with me? And we wouldn't always say it like that, but pretty close. If you wouldn't, I wouldn't. No. That it's not like they don't have the strings on your life, right? They might know what buttons to push, right? I get that. But you can unhook the button. You can pull the plug on the button, and they can sit and push all day. I decided that I'm powerful here. I unhooked the button. Okay, so we're going to see a little more of that today. We're going to hopefully get through a little bit of how do we walk out of this? How do we deal with some of this? So one more review slide, I think. We blame the devil. We blame my past. Well, I wouldn't be like this if it wasn't for my past. Man, forgetting the behind things, my circumstances, yeah, God, people in my life. Oh, sorry, I lied. And then I can't, kind of the victim language. I have to, you make me. I mean, there's another 20 of those, but we'll move on. Let's see if we can figure out a way to get out of some of this. All right, how do we, like, we're just going to say that probably 100 out of 100 people, at least in one tiny area of their life minimum, at one point in their life has struggled with this. So none of us are immune to victim thinking. None of us are immune to the mopeys, right? The woe is me, I'm going to package up all the power and authority I have in my life, and I'm just going to give it to you, right? We all have done that. So how do we get out of that? All right, a few things. Realize being a victim is my choice. The first choice that you made in giving up all of your choices is the choice that I don't have a choice in this. That's the choice that you made. But you have a choice. It is your choice to choose your mentality. You get to decide how you want to see the world. You get to decide how you want to see life. You get to decide how you want to see other people. It's a choice if you're going to be the woe is me. And I'm not talking about an emotional state, I'm talking about a mental state. Because we all feel like a woe is me sometimes, but we can choose to not walk like that. And so, number one, just realize that this is a divine infused, even non-Christians, you could have the choice. Like by DNA, how God created humanity, humankind, and especially Christ followers, my goodness. I don't have to be a victim. And let's go through a couple sub-points in this. If I'm a victim, I am always looking to be rescued. Because if I don't have a choice in this, if I don't have a choice, then I'm always looking for something to be my hero. The sun's going to come out tomorrow. Well, hopefully it's today, because the weather is my problem, right? And if anything good is going to happen in my life, the sun needs to come up. If anything good is going to happen to me, John needs to stop being John. Golly. If anything good is going to happen to me, my boss, I'll tell you one thing, right? We're looking for here, or we're, oh gosh. want to do some Danny Silk, but it's classic relational. We need a victim. We need a villain, and we need a hero. If you want to get into kind of relational, some of this kind of stuff, I'm a victim, and she's so mean to me, right? But my friend's going to come along, and he's going to be the hero, and he's going to be like, yeah, she is me. I'll tell you one thing. You want me to go talk to her? Yeah, would you please? Right? We need it. We're looking for heroes. My boss makes me work like 23 hours a week, right? Even on Thursdays, right? Hey, I think that's horrible, right? See, that's what I thought. We're looking for these heroes that can come in, and we start creating codependent situations, and it's really bad. Because I don't have no power, right? I can't do nothing. And so we look for a hero because I'm a victim and they're the bad guy. Relationally, we're always looking for a bad guy. If we can just turn that around about 180 degrees and look for the bad guy right here and just know that, you know what? I've got the key to the machine. I can unplug all the buttons that you can push, right? So without getting too deep into that, just I can do stuff. But when we don't know that I can do stuff, then that's robbed from us. We get unaware of the resources that we have. If I don't realize that I've got a choice in this, I stop looking for what I have. Like, if you were on a... Okay, hold on. Forget this. If you're on a desert island, we talked about the... What'd you say about a biosphere? Yep, a biosphere. Well, if you're stranded on a desert island, okay, you went to bed... Right, got done doing chores and you went to bed and you woke up and you're kind of, the water's lapping up against you and you're on a desert island somewhere. You don't know how you got there? All of a sudden you're there, right? Desert island. Okay, anyone in Boy Scouts or Royal Rangers? We went through Royal Rangers, yep. You could sit around for the first couple days pouting and being like, I didn't deserve this. Like, how did I get here? We can ask those questions, probably good questions to ask. But by the time you really come up with any answers for that, you're going to be dehydrated and dead from exposure and sharks and, I don't know, desert island monsters, spiders. Yes, we all know we're going to die from them. So, yes. So probably the first thing that we're going to do, even the most dire kind of self-pity ones of us, we're going to figure out what I've got at my disposal here. Do I have coconuts? Can I eat them? Is there any tools on this? What is available on this island for me to use? Can I make some shelter? Can I find some fresh water? Or am I going to die from dehydration, right? Is there a waterfall or a pond? Can I make some, find a root with some, squeeze it out and get some water out of there or whatever? You are keenly aware that you are lacking in resources, but I'm on the hunt to find some. If I find some water, then I don't die. Who gets to find water? Me. I am on it. Who else is on the island? Bubkus. Nobody. It's just me. I'm looking for tools. Is there a hammer? Is there, like, whoever dropped me off here, I don't know how I got here. Was it a magical fairy? I don't know. Did they leave me anything else? Is there a backpack of tricks? I don't know what's here. I'm going to go look for it. But when we realize that I don't have any choice in this and I'm just a victim in life, I don't even look for options. Like, I don't have a choice in this. When we don't realize that we don't have a choice, I don't look for different ways of doing things. I don't look for different ways of communicating. I don't look for different ways of seeing things. I don't look for different, could I read a book and have this help me? Could I listen to a video, those of us that don't like to read books? Can I get some more information? Could I get some help? Could I ask someone for advice? Because if it's not my choice and I don't have any choice in this, I'm just a victim and there's no choice. But if there is a choice, then I can choose to find some help. Not just to help me feel better, no, help to get out of whatever this thing is, whatever deficit I've got. So it's really important to know that we have a choice. It's our choice. And here's the other stinky thing. If I don't realize that being a victim is my choice, then nobody can convince me that I've got options. Has anyone ever seen even just a small clip of the 1970s Wonder Woman show? When we were growing up, that was on, you know, broadcast television, Linda Carter and her gold bracelets. And one of the cool things was she could deflect bullets. So they'd shoot at her and she'd be like, pew, pew. Right? See, if Larry was here, I'd bring him up and then I'd throw punches at him and he would deflect my... I was trying to think of deflecting. And so I was thinking of Larry deflecting my punches. But I ended on Wonder Woman. Because when I think of Larry, I think of Wonder Woman. Because that's who he's married to. Yes. And it's because Debbie is Wonder Woman. Yes. So, yeah, happy birthday. So please go home and do this to Larry. So she had these bracelets. And she could deflect anything that was thrown at her, any kind of bullets or anything, you know. And I think about us when we don't realize that we've got a choice. I know, listen, I'm just a victim. And people have very valid, maybe you guys have experienced this, you know, personally or with someone else. Someone comes along and has a great solution to their problem. Hey, you know, if you just pew, deflect. Well, no, I don't have any money. It's the economy. Well, hey, I know Teals is hiring. I can't go there. I'm just a victim, right? I don't know. Just picking out this very obvious, like really obvious ones. But we have a lot more subtle ones than that in our lives. And we've crafted every excuse because there's no way out. I don't have a choice in this. I'm just a victim, you know? My money situation, my relational situation, my health situation, fill in the blanks. I mean, whatever constitutes your life and whatever you're feeling a victim in that you are powerless to change, which is not true. But people come in and they want to suggest things and they want to help. And we see the word of God and we're like, well, that would be great for someone else, not for me. Right? We deflect it and it can't get in here because I don't have a choice, you see. Oh, you think I want that? And people will get mad. You think I want to be like this? You think I want to be in this situation? Huh? Yes, I kind of think you do right now because you don't have any responsibility then. And oftentimes that's subconscious. We don't think through it. You know, it's not always nefarious, bad hearts and bad motives. It's just we get stuck thinking like that. So number one, you got to know that, man, you got a choice in this. You don't have to be a victim. Get some help, like whatever the problem is. And this could be such a wide range of things in our life that we become paralyzed in. I can't do anything. No, you can. You can. You can do something. What can you do? Well, I'm on a desert island. I can't go out for football this year. But what can you do? Can you find a coconut so that you don't die tomorrow, right? Can you make a fire? What can I do in this? What can I do? I don't like coconuts. Okay, fine. Die then. Like, whatever. Great. Yeah, volleyball, yes. I've not actually seen that movie. Remember, so realize that being a victim is my choice. And remember, hey, this is going to seem kind of weird, but remember that this is, as a Christ follower now. Now, if you're watching and you don't know Jesus, now this one might not apply to you. But as the Christ follower, we don't always think of this. We don't always process through this. But this is not, this kingdom of this earth is not our eternal kingdom. We are a citizen of a different kingdom. We're a citizen of a different way of thinking. We're a citizen of a different place. We are strangers and aliens here. We are sojourners, Pastor Fearing always used to say. I always thought that was a cool word. Philippians 3:20 says this, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some words that Jesus said, and hopefully this can help us a little bit. It's not comfortable stuff, but John 15, verses 18 and 19 says this. Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. And I think sometimes, has anyone ever been to someone's house for Christmas before? Maybe when you were in college or younger or nobody? Okay. Well, just imagine if you would. Imagine if you would that you're, let's say, a middle-aged kid or older, you know? So you've had some Christmases that you can remember and you kind of know how it works, right? Old enough to know how Christmas works, right? Chris, Colton, do you know how Christmas works?
Yeah.
Okay, so good. At least Colton's age. Okay? Now, picture this. You go to your friend's house, and they've got a big family, and you're kind of halfway through, like, you're there staying there Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. All of a sudden, you were orphaned for some reason, so you're just at your friend's place or whatever. And by halfway through, you're just like, they notice that your face drops, and then you get a little more sad, and then you kind of get a little angry, and then finally, you've had enough. And you start filling them in on how they're doing Christmas wrong. Because, no, this needs to happen first. And this, and all of a sudden, this child is just distraught. Because this is wrong. And it's not how it's supposed to be. And this isn't what Christmas really is like. Right? And they start telling the other people what they need to be doing. We tried at the concert house. See, at the Snaza house, we grew up with Grandma Yvonne. And we went around the room, one by one, we would, because Grandma, God rest her soul, is not here with us anymore, so I can say this out loud. She would, you didn't throw away wrapping paper, okay? So, heaven forbid you tore that bugger, because your gift's getting yanked away. Not really. But, so we carefully opened up our presents, especially if it was bigger than this. We kind of had this mental, we knew what size we could get away with ripping it open. As kids, we just wanted to rip them buggers open. So opening up the paper, unfolding it, setting it on the pile. Don't put it in that bag. That's the throwaway bag. And so set it on the pile, right? And then, we hold it up, which I've kind of grown up. We still do that at Mom and Dad's now for Christmas. And That's very comfortable. It's very much like Christmas is supposed to be, I guess. I don't know, because that's what I've ever known. And everyone gets to see what everyone else got. And, oh, thank you, Aunt Betty, for the snow globe. It's wonderful. It will go with my collection, right? Say how you appreciate the gift, whatever. And so everybody gets to see. Then I got married. And so we went to the concerts. Who in here has seen Bugs Bunny before? Do you guys know the Tasmanian devil? Right, that guy? That's more of a version of what it's like over there. Which after 21 years, again, now I'm very comfortable with and super happy about and love it. And so I'll usually just kind of kick back, and I think you guys do that too. I kind of watch you guys once in a while and just watch the flurry of activity. And that kind of almost adds to it, you know. But one year we tried at the concerts. Everyone opened one gift, and it was agonizing. It just didn't fit. It just didn't fit. So imagine this kid coming in and saying, no, this is wrong, and you're just attacking me. Oh, why do I, it's all wrong, whatever. This isn't, it's like being in a displaced family at, you know, for Christmas. We're in this world. This isn't our world, though. Guys, this isn't our world. They don't have to open gifts like we think they do, right? When they hate you, when the world is looking like, I don't know, like the world, like Satan, when it's looking like that, you're not the victim. You just belong to a different family. Your family does things differently. You belong to the heavenly kingdom. And so just knowing that, because so often we get so invested unintentionally into this world. And it should like me. And it should go well. And it should happen like this. And oftentimes we're that displaced kid that's in the wrong family, and we're trying to tell the world others. Now, I'm not saying, man, we need to have influence and we need to be salt and light. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm talking about more what's happening internally. I'm talking about between our two ears. I'm not necessarily talking about what's happening out there, because we want righteous legislation and we want to be salt and light and we want a platform to be able to speak life and whatever. That's not what I'm meaning. What I'm meaning is us throwing our tantrums internally because they're not doing it how I think they should be doing it. That's not my family. That's not my world. See, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I'm of a different kingdom. And some of us, that might be enough to give you the nudge that you need to go, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'm not just hanging on to get out of here. You see, if we left that verse in Philippians, the verse before this, your citizenship is in heaven and we await a savior from there. That could sound like a defeatist verse if you didn't know all of the rest that went with it. Oh, we're just waiting for a savior. Oh, no. No, that's not it at all. There's all these other verses that go with it about you being the light of the world, about you being powerful, about you being filled with the Holy Spirit, about you walking in truth and life and love and making great choices and doing all these amazing things. So this world, it's not the value system of ours. It's not the citizenship of ours. It's not the thought process of ours. And so sometimes we end up, long story short, we end up being victims because we expect the world to operate like my family does. That's not how my family does it. My family does it the heaven way, that I get to live out here. But sometimes I feel like, oh, they're all against me. And Jesus is like, and? Oh, but there's, you don't know what it, Jesus said, and? Have you not, like, Jesus, I think Jesus sometimes, probably all the time for a lot of us, has to be like, have you read any of my books? Jesus is like, I'm a famous author. Have you read any of my stuff? Like, just look it up. It's at the library. Go check it out. Like, John chapter 15. They're going to hate you. Like, you're not guaranteed a hero's welcome in the world. So you're going to be victimized sometimes. Don't let it land here. Whatever happens out there, don't let it get seeded into here. Yeah, I just can't do nothing in this world. Jesus, come back. All right? And we long for his returning, but we've also got a job to do while we're here. Gosh. It's that pivot moment, and I'm just going to stop early, because once I get in the next section, we can't stop early, and I'm hungry. So, to be continued. All right, we're not going to get through it all anyways. I was hoping I could get the one more point, and that's a big point, so I'm like, ah, gosh. I don't want you to be victims of a long sermon today. So, guys, let's review our 2 points here. It's your choice. It's your choice to not be a victim. You're not stuck. You're not as stuck as you think you are. You're not as stuck as you think you are. You're not as much of a prisoner to your heritage, to your past, to your personality, to your boss, to your friends, to this woman makes me angry, to whatever it is. You're not as stuck as you think you are. There's a choice. What can I do? All right? What can I do? We didn't get to some of the really empowering things yet, but this is some good stuff to realize that, gosh, I have a choice in this. And then secondly, don't expect the world to treat you like a hero, because to them you are not. Now, I hope that we're following the word of God and that we're doing good things. Over and over, it tells us to be doing good things. Over and over, it tells us to be salt and light. Over and over, it tells us to be making an imprint, to be loved, to be making an impact on our world. And hopefully that changes hearts and minds. Hopefully that endears people to you. But the system of the world is always going to hate you. The underlying force behind what goes on out there is always going to hate you. If you don't believe me, just ask Jesus. Because he's the one that told you. I'm just repeating his words. Jesus told us they're going to hate you. because they hated me first. But do you see the empowerment there? Jesus said, if they do, just remember. Do you see? You see what Jesus was speaking to? Hold on. We're closing right now. Just hang with me. Everybody focus. We're getting the exit ramp is in sight. Jesus said, when you start to be victimized, when the world hates you, clearly it wasn't your fault, but they do hate you. So there's bad things said about you, bad things done to you. Here's what Jesus said. His very first thing, remember, 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 change your thinking. Remember, they hated me first. Remember, you're not alone in this. Remember, you've got some power in this. Remember, you're not just stuck. Remember, change your thinking or you're going to get paralyzed. That's what Jesus was alluding to. Change how you think about this because this is going to happen. There's going to be bad stuff. But careful because it's really easy for you to become lifeless. Just go into pause mode and not be powerful, not produce fruit. All right, let's pray. Father, I just pray a blessing of grace over this congregation today. God, that we would have easy access to the mind of Christ, Lord, to think your thoughts, to not get stuck in being a victim. Jesus, you never thought you were a victim, and you were treated the most horribly, most undeservingly. You knew that you had power, and I just pray that we would know that as well, that we have a free will, we have a choice in this to look for hope, to look for life, and that we're not just victims. And we just pray blessings over everyone today. Bless our fundraiser, and give us all a great week in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.